Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
Lots to talk about today, including the Chicago Bulls Blazers. Chuck Swirsky is the Chicago Bulls radio play-by-play broadcaster. Blazers, Bulls, tonight, Moda Center. Chuck is in town. Chuck, welcome to Portland again.
Yes, thank you.
When you get to Portland, give me, like, what do you do? Like, because I know you go to New Orleans, you probably walk down Bourbon Street. What do you do in Portland?
Well, I've got family here. My son actually is an employee of the Blazers, and he works in the video department under Terry Stotts and loves the organization, loves Coach Stotts. And one of my sisters lives in Lake Oswego, so it's always good to catch up with people and family members and whatnot. And I'm from Seattle, so a number of people come down from Seattle in the Bellevue area, and it's kind of like a reunion for 24, 48 hours.
That's cool. I like that. When you were coming out of high school, did you envision broadcaster, NBA team? Was that on your horizon at that point? Or
absolutely. No question about it. I wanted to be an NBA broadcaster, and I am not exaggerating. Probably at about 5 or 6 years old, and I would take the NBA Register, the Sporting News would put out a little digest every year, and I would take it, and I would take a flashlight into bed, and I would memorize players, their schools, where they attended, and I grew up listening to Bill Shonley. Bill was doing a lot of sports in Seattle, not only with the Pilots, the ill-fated Pilots for 1 year, but he was doing Seattle Totems hockey. He was doing just about everything in Seattle, and he was a tremendous, tremendous role model as a young boy that I was at the time, growing up and listening to Seattle sports. And, you know, hopefully our paths will cross again tonight, because every time I see him, I tell him how much and the impactful manner in which he had on my career.
I think that's so cool. We're talking to Chuck Swirsky, the Chicago Bulls radio play-by-play broadcaster. The Bulls are having a rough season. They're 10-30. They've lost four in a row, haven't won this year yet. What's gone on with this team this season?
Well, I mean, really, you have to look at it in three parts, to be quite candid with you, and to be extremely transparent. I mean, this club was lined up, in my opinion, for a playoff run, honestly, but then in training camp, and even prior to training camp with the loss of Valentine, they started the season with four of their top eight players sidelined. And I get it. It's a part of the game. Injuries happen to every team. But when you take four players out of your rotation in training camp and in the first week of the season, it's really, really hard to put something together. You lose your base, your foundation, what you're trying to do, everything that you put together as far as packages and elements of succession defensively, offensively during the offseason, you blow it up, and then you start playing mix and match. So the club gets off to a tough start. That's one element. The second element is obviously with the coaching change, with Fred Hoiberg being released, Jim Boylan taking over. And now, you know, they got Markkanen back, and they got Portis back, and they got Dunn back. Valentine is out for the year, as you know. And so now they're learning how to play together. And I'm talking about really the core group of this club as they move forward in Lauri Markkanen, who, in my opinion, is going to be an all-star. Not this year, certainly, but in future years to come. Zach LaVine, who's on the cusp of making the all-star team. Chris Dunn, who's really developing now into a really good, aggressive point guard. And Wendell Carter Jr., the seventh pick in the draft, who's had, like all rookies, ups and downs, maybe hit the mini wall but I think this kid has a chance to be really special. He's only 19, and he's 15th in the league in blocks. And so I think that is your core group as you move forward.
Yeah, that backcourt, you know, you've got Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine there. That backcourt, I think, gives you some hope for the future. What kind of players do they need to put around those two guys besides Markkanen?
Well, I think if you look at it down the road, whether it's going to be in free agency and the club will have a boatload of room, and what that means now in today's world, I'm not really sure. As far as where this club is at, they probably need some help at the wing and a shooting wing. I mean, they don't take a lot of threes, the Bulls. And unfortunately, in this day and age of the NBA, you've got to have shooters on the floor. And they don't get to the free throw line a lot. And that's something that Jim Boylan, who is the head coach, he's not an interim, he is the head coach, is trying to stress with his team and encourage them to go downhill. And they have, for the most part, since he's taken over. This club is very high now on drives to the basket since he's taken over. And LaVine averages around six and a half free throw attempts per game. But they're trying to do more of that. And they're trying to incorporate more sets where they're taking it to the rack. So I would think as you move forward, you're probably looking for wing players, and that's where they're probably going to look at in the draft, because obviously they're headed to the lottery, and where that means in the lottery, who knows, with the ping pong balls. But I think that's a priority.
What do you see when you look across the NBA right now? Because I think we're like a year away, maybe 2 years away, two seasons away from seeing some real transition and movement. Obviously, the Warriors are enjoying their time. The Spurs are trying to rebuild. Kawhi's in the Eastern Conference now, and LeBron's trying to put together his squad. What do you see as you look across the league?
Well, I'm seeing, as you mentioned, I think it's great on your part to say that things are changing. I mean, you can look at Milwaukee right now. They made a coaching change. Budenholzer has brought in different packages. You look at Toronto. Masai Ujiri is a very, very aggressive general manager. I was in Toronto for 10 years, and he was an assistant to Brian Colangelo when I was there, and I could tell that he was set for stardom as an executive. And he went to Denver, and he was not hesitant and reluctant at all to pull the trigger on the Melo trade to New York. And he got a lot back for Melo, if you can recall. So he goes to Toronto, and he has revamped that entire mindset of how to do business there. And some of that he learned under Colangelo. Some of that is Masai and his personality. But I think Toronto is not going to hide. Even if they – whatever happens to Kawhi Leonard, I think Toronto is going to be around for a long time because of Masai Ujiri. And then you got Philadelphia, you got Boston. I think Indiana's a great story. So that's kind of the makeup of the East right now. And then in the West, you look at the West, and on a nightly basis, with all due respect, maybe to Phoenix, but you go into Sacramento now, and that used to be, okay, you know, maybe you could say that that's a winnable ball game. You can't say that anymore.
Now, your catchphrases. Where did you get salami and cheese from?
Okay, salami and cheese I got a letter, not an email, an old-fashioned letter with a stamp, and it was from a Raptor fan, and he said, listen, I watch every game. I was doing television at the time with Raptors. He said, I'm watching every game, and I just don't want to leave to go to the kitchen, but I'm starving. So when you know that the ball game is over, Can you just say, hey, this game's over and we can move on and I can go make a sandwich? And he goes, oh, by the way, I like salami and cheese. I'm thinking, what in the world? So, you know, next game, Raptors are up by like 8 points with 30 seconds to go. And I said, get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. And, you know, like all of a sudden it just caught on. And I mean, I'm talking about it caught on. Fans are bringing signs to the ball game. I mean, the players are coming by the scorers table. Have you called the salami and cheese? And so, I mean, it went viral. And that's where that came from. And I owe it to a fan.
That is interesting. And I think, how about onions? Onions, baby, onions. What's that come from?
Well, that, you know, I mean, Raftery is with the onions, but let me tell you something. With all, and I love Bill, the onions line was actually used initially by Ray Meyer. And Ray Meyer was my color analyst when I did DePaul at the University of Michigan for 18 years before I went to the NBA. This is my 21st year doing the NBA and 18 of college. And I'm only 35 years old, so it's amazing when I'm kidding. I wish I were kidding. But here's the bottom line. Ray Meyer, we were doing a ball game with DePaul, and he had retired, and he went into the broadcast booth. He was my analyst. So during the game, he goes, "That guy has onions." But I had no idea what he meant. And this is pre-Bill Raftery. And so during the commercial break, I said, "Coach, what does that mean? What's onions?" And he explained, obviously, and this is a G-rated show, so we don't need to go there, but you can put two and two together. And so I thought, wow. So then all of a sudden, and Bill is a wonderful analyst, great, great broadcaster, funny, intelligent, you know, just breaks down a game like, you know, one of the best ever. And so he had that phrase, onions. So what I did is I incorporated onions, and then I took onions, baby onions.
Love that. Tonight, the Blazers playing hot, the Bulls kind of waning a little bit. I think most people expect that this will be a Portland win, but sell this as a compelling game. I know I'm looking at tickets. You can get into this game for under $10 if you go on StubHub. Why should people show up tonight to see the Bulls and the Blazers at Moda Center?
Why should people show up? Well, how about the backcourt? LaVine, Dunn, McCollum, Lillard. You know, let me just say this about Portland for a moment. And again, I'm going to be very, very blunt and transparent. I think Terry Stotts is one of the best coaches in the league. And I'm saying that. And just put the fact my son is an employee of the Blazers. I'm just talking about an NBA broadcaster. Because I've seen Terry coach at Atlanta and Milwaukee and here. I think he does a fabulous job. And if you look at McCollum and Lillard together, wow. I mean, we came in here a year ago. You know what happened a year ago, right, with McCollum?
Yep.
He had 50 points in three quarters. He had 28 at the end of one. And they put different players on him. We trapped him at midcourt. He ran off the ball. He sprayed to the wing. It was unbelievable. And I called Kobe's 81-point game. I called it. I was at Staples, and I was the TV voice of the Raptors when Kobe had 81. To this day, the most remarkable event I've ever seen in my life. It was a one-man wrecking crew because his teammates included Chris Mim and Smush Parker. Okay, enough said. But I love what Nurkic has done, and it's going to be Nurkic, Wendell Carter tonight, Lauri Markkanen, Aminu. I think this is a very compelling game because the Bulls are going to bring it. Even though they've lost four in a row, this is the first of five straight on the road. They need to play hard, which they will. But they need to get this game to set the tone. They've got three games in four nights starting tonight.
Appreciate you, Chuck. Appreciate you sharing your story and your personal journey with us as well. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Be well.
There is Chuck Swirsky, the Chicago Bulls radio play-by-play guy. Punch and Audio, the best sound all around, plus Derek Anderson still ahead. Punch It Audio, the best sound from all around. We do it every day in the 1 o'clock hour. Today's no different. We got great stuff.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Terrell Owens ran into Jerry Rice at the airport. That sounds like it should be followed with a punchline. T.O. says Jerry's the best ever. Punch it.
The airport, and guess what? You never know who you're going to run into at the airport. I just ran into one of the greatest people of all time, and I'm not really talking about myself. I'm not talking about myself. I know I'm great, but I've always said there's only one person better than me at the pigskin, and guess who that guy is?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's happening? I'm hanging out with T.O., man. We just talking about some old times.
Hey, never know who you run into at the airport. You hear it first, right here from the horse's mouth. He's number one. In my eyes, I'm always going to be 1A. Anybody else, they can be 2. You know what I mean? And if you want to go 1, 2, 3, he can be 1. I'll be number 2. You see it right there.
All right. You're cracking me up, man.
Hey, the greatest of all time. They call him the GOAT for a reason.
What's up, man?
They call him World.
T.O. and Jerry Rice. By the way, T.O., you can't hold Jerry's jock. There's no way. Come on. T.O. was great. Everybody wanted him. But Jerry Rice was a winner. Work ethic, talent, hands. Speaking of work ethic, Klay Thompson. He got busy last night for Golden State. 43. Punch it.
Thompson again! Klay Thompson igniting the crowd here at Oracle Arena. His 7th 3-pointer.
Klay Thompson breaking out of a slump in an impressive way.
Did you see he only dribbled like 4 times?
Doesn't need to.
That's right.
Today's NBA. By the way, Zion Williamson hates being known as just a dunker. If you want to call me just a dunker, I'm not offended by that. Here's Zion.
I kind of hate it always being classified as a dunker because, you know, I feel like Coach K would just recruit me if he thought I was a dunker, but I guess people on the outside don't understand that. But, you know, I can't play for the people trying to impress other people. I'm just playing to get better for myself and get better for my teammates and just, you know, trying to make a run for, like, conference championships and hopefully the national championship.
You got to win, right? And one of the problems, I think, with young players, one-and-done players in college basketball especially, is we think of them as selfish players who are in it just for themselves, more interested in the done than they are the one. And I don't know what to make of an era of basketball in which we're going to see, I think, in very short term, high school players who are able to go to the G League who are the one-and-done type candidates. And I'm really curious if... I kind of suspect that's going to improve college basketball. That all of a sudden you're going to get better college basketball because you got guys who are willing to be there for 3 years, 2 years even, and invest. And look, I want to be fair to Dana Altman, the Oregon coach, because I think after you go to a Final Four and you get guys like Bol Bol and Lewis King who are knocking on your door and Troy Brown Jr. who want to come to your program, I think it's super tempting. I think it's actually really hard to say no to those guys. Hey, coach, we want to be, you know, if you have a chance to get those guys, because your whole mindset as a coach from being a young college basketball coach all the way to like you're 50 or 60 years old, your whole mindset is we got to get the best possible talent we can get in recruiting. And you do that for decades. And then suddenly you're in a position to get the best possible talent. And I got to be honest, the guys who have figured it out, like Villanova, you know, the coaches that have figured it out, understand that there's a blend that needs to happen. For the right one-and-done guy, if he can fit, if he can accept the role that he's given, that's a tough thing. Those guys will come and you can win with them. But by and large, I do think that's why we've seen a more wide-open NCAA tournament in the last decade. I think you're seeing programs like Butler, Villanova rising up, making some mistakes in recruiting, then having to kind of settle into what they want to be. I think Oregon will get there. But it's not happening this season. Staying in the NBA, Steve Kerr, by the way, talking about DeMarcus Cousins Will he play January 18th? Is that the date? Punch it.
I think it'll happen around that time. It's not as simple as that's the game. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, now that we're getting closer, made some big strides the last week or two conditioning-wise. So if that continues and Rick tells us that he's ready to go, then it could be that game. Maybe it's the New Orleans game a couple days earlier. Maybe it's the first game after that. But that's definitely the range.
When they get him, I'm not so sure that right away he's going to have the impact that they desire. Like, there may be a feeling out period, but that's going to be a separation moment for Golden State. Like, Klay Thompson getting it together, that's a separation moment. Cousins, there's no way this Warriors team loses. There's just no way.
You mean loses the championship?
Right.
You don't mean the game.
Right. Yeah, they lose the championship. They're not losing. They are going to win. Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys, wants to get to the NFC title game, then the Super Bowl championship. Well, of course he does. Punch it.
It means a lot. Just to accomplish that, especially here at the Dallas Cowboys. It's a prestigious organization. But our goal is not to get back to the NFC championship, to get to the Super Bowl and win. So, that'd be cool, but we want to win a Super Bowl.
Wants a Super Bowl. Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys. I think in the NFC, it is a two-part problem for Dallas. One of the problems is the Saints. The other problem is the Rams.
I think it comes down to Gurley. I think if he's healthy enough, and he's got to be close to 100%. If he plays, I think it's going to be tough for Dallas. But if Gurley's out, or if he's more like 70% and he's hurt, I think it's going to be a game.
Could be. I don't know. I like Dallas at home in the kind of game they were in against Seattle. Like, I expect that game to be close, but I thought Seattle would win.
But the great thing about playing in L.A. is half the stadium's going to be Dallas Cowboys fans. It is.
True.
Yeah.
They're now saying no rain in the forecast. Also no rain in the forecast for this Chargers-Patriots game. No snow either. It's going to be clear. I like that. Jerry Jones, by the way, says the Rams are tough.
They're formidable. They've got some great players. Boy, they loaded up this year with some real talent. But I'm pleased with how we've evolved and how we've got here. And this gives us the best chance to advance. Plus, just as important, if things felt right, we'd have an opportunity maybe to play the championship game here. Of course, we've got to get by Los Angeles to even think like that.
Jerry Jones is getting ahead of himself, looking for some glory days. Bill Belichick talks Philip Rivers. Punch it.
He's really good at everything. Very accurate on the deep ball, sees coverage as well, sees matchups well, goes to the right place, throws the ball accurately. He's a big, strong guy that can stand in the pocket and handle himself with guys around him. Obviously, the offense runs through him, and he does a good job of getting the Chargers either into good plays or out of bad plays, however you want to look at it.
Rivers is 0-7 in his career against Tom Brady. If the Chargers win this game, it's with Rivers making enough plays and the Chargers just running the football all over New England. New England is vulnerable. The only thing that scares me from the Chargers' standpoint is the mystique and aura of the Patriots. And Mystique and Aura doesn't get first downs. But going to Gillette to win a game that something they haven't done, this is new.
Do you think that Mystique and Aura, is get through that first quarter, get through that initial whatever that Mystique and Aura is and get into the rhythm and just play football?
I think this game could, if of the games that are scheduled, this game has the potential to be a blowout.
Yeah.
This is the game where I'm going, either the Chargers are going to go in there and click, and New England's not going to have an answer, and we're all going to say, this is the beginning of the end of Tom Brady and the Patriots, or it's the end, or the Chargers are going to go in there and go, oh, the stage is so big, it's so bright, I don't know what to do here, and the Patriots will be up 21-0 before they know it.
Do you think the Chargers win by 7, and if the Patriots win, they win by 3 touchdowns?
No, I think the Chargers could blow him out, too.
Do you?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Okay.
The Patriots, they just...
No, I know.
They're not the Patriots of 2 years ago.
But it's the playoffs. It's in it's in Boston.
Mystique.
And it's very hard to root against them when they're there.
Gillette Stadium.
And it's
Tom
playoff.
Brady.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick. Patrick Mahomes is ready for his playoff debut. Punch it.
For me, it's my first playoff game. I'm excited just to be here and then at the same time get the opportunity to go out there and win games like this. I mean, when you grow up, you want to be a professional athlete and you want to win on the biggest stage. And so for me, it's about going out there, like I said, be myself, lean on my teammates, and try to go out there and win a big football game.
Here's the problem for Mahomes. It's not him. All the other quarterbacks who made their playoff debuts last week lost. It's the only thing. A guy who's had a terrific season this year, not rookie season, but season, pushed it together. This is his first time.
I think this is the toughest game to call this weekend. I do. The way the Colts are playing, I just think this is a tough game to call. Mahomes, he just said it first, and you said it too, first game. First playoff, he has no idea what this atmosphere is going to be like, and no idea how the pressure is going to be on him. The Colts are just playing like a machine right now.
If you were Kansas City, would you have rather hosted the Colts or gone to New England?
Ooh.
Because there was some doubt whether they'd win that division.
Yeah, you always want to be at home, and you always want to give, I think you'll still say you want to be at home, but I'd rather play New England. But, you asked that question. Yes, I'd rather, I choose the Colts at home. But I'm telling you, I keep saying Kansas City was my Super Bowl pick, and I'll probably just pick them just for the fact that they were my Super Bowl pick. I don't have any confidence in them this week the way the Colts are playing.
Can I do one more?
Sure.
Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs. He says they're ready. Punch it.
I know how passionate our players, coaches, the building is. So I know it's important to a lot of folks. On a note, the guys here are busting their tail to get ready to play a good football team and to do the best we possibly can. And they're going to be fired up and ready to go. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but the Chiefs right now are not what the Chiefs were like at week six. They're without their... woman punching running back.
Yep.
That he was a key dimension of what they were offensively.
Extreme. Yeah.
It's weird to me that the NFL, see, it used to be that the NFL teams that played well during the regular season, you feared them in the postseason. Right now, the teams that I am most afraid of, if I have to play them, are the Colts. And going to New Orleans, that holds up. But the Rams and Chiefs, who were like, remember that Super Bowl Monday night or whatever?
That's what I picked. I picked those are the teams I picked in the Super Bowl. I don't have any confidence. Especially, I have more confidence in the Rams. I do, because it's the Cowboys are on the road. I know it's L.A. I did say that. But Gurley's, I know Gurley's going to play, and that's huge to me.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, is it an upset?
I think a lot of people would say no. I would say yes.
That feels like that's a 9-win team that you're banking on getting to the Super Bowl.
A good defense, not a great defense. One day they show up, one day they don't.
Who's their best player?
Tom Brady.
Still?
Yeah.
He's old.
I know. He's still the best player, though.
Who's their best player besides Tom Brady?
That's Gronk.
Yeah, he's not on defense. He's not. Which NFL playoff game, if you can only watch one, would you watch this weekend? 503-417-7575. If I limit you to one football game that you can watch this weekend, and then you got to go cold turkey. Which game are you watching? What's the most compelling matchup, or what are you most into? There's no wrong answer here. 503-417-7575.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.